Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is meditation, part two, but before we get into that topic, I would just want to mention to you that we have a gift that we'll talk about later on in the show. I'm sure you'll really be happy with it. And in addition, we have a special offer. But besides all that, we also have an unusual program today. We're going to, Sarah and Dale are going to take you through a guided meditation. A lot of people ask, what is meditation? So we thought the best way for a lot of you beginners is to take you through a guided meditation. I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, who wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear in this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. There is a way which can be learned and practiced by which the consciousness can be focused, aligned, and turned towards the first source of spiritual inspiration, the soul, and that comes from the booklet, The Science of Meditation. We were talking last time about uses of meditation. I gather that meditation is an important form of service. Is that right?
Yes. Meditation can be a means of contributing to the working out of the plan for our world through the focused contemplation and meditation upon divine principles and divine intentions, particularly when it's done by a group. And we haven't said very much about group meditation yet, but it's an essential component of the work that we do. We have monthly meditation meetings, which are open to anyone who is interested in attending. And if people telephone our office, we can send them a schedule of the meetings. Each month, we meet in meditation for the purpose of performing a service to humanity through aligning our minds and identifying as much as we are able with the plan of God for our world, and together working to create a channel that will allow light and love and the will to good to pour into human consciousness.
There's a lot of more energy generated by a group of people sitting together than there is by an individual, by him or herself. And that's the great value of group meditation. And actually, one doesn't have to be sitting with a group of people, not necessarily all in the same room, but they can be scattered throughout the world. But as long as they're working together with the same purpose in mind, and that's the real value of a group, because it generates so much more energy and power. And if you're working with bringing in the energies of light and love into the world, then you want as much power as you can generate, and the group does that.
Yeah, many of us probably feel that on our own we're not mentally powerful enough to make much of a difference in the world. But when we work with a group, and a worldwide group actually, that meets in meditation each month on a particular theme that we all share, then we have a collective power that I think is real. And people may not realize that meditation can be a form of service. We're so used to thinking of our own minds as our own, as if there are barricades around our own minds. We say, I know my own mind, as if my own mind is entirely separate from everyone else's mind. But in fact, we also are aware of the phrase to be of one mind with a group. And when that happens, there is a unison and a unity and a merging of purpose that constitutes a kind of a body of energy. And to carry that idea a little further, if we think about it, all barriers to right human relations exist on the mental plane in the form of attitudes and thought forms and prejudices and idée fixe about situations and peoples and events. And those barriers, those blocks to right human relations have to be torn down on the mental plane. That's why meditation, which works with the mind, can be such an effective means of restoring right human relations. It has to begin on the mind with the generating of new mental perceptions of our oneness with our fellow men, of light and love uniting us all, regardless of our outer differences. Those are recognitions that have to begin by being formed in meditation before they can work out in human behavior.
And that's the reason why we have these monthly meetings, because it's a chance for the whole group to come together, a group of people, and we have a number of people that attend our meetings each month, and anyone can join if you like. So just give us a call, and we will send you a schedule, and even send you a the Science of Meditation booklet if you like. But it's very important to, because it's kind of a new way of working. It's a subjective way of working, and even though we can't always see the effects that are being created, we have to know and hope and realize that the energies are penetrating and reaching out through human consciousness and using the power, the invocative power of the great invocation is a way which can invoke more of these energies of light and love.
Meditation is a way of developing an awareness of what we might call the subjective side of life. There is the outer realm, which we are all too aware of. We talked in recent programs on the theme of from the unreal to the real. The outer physical world and the emotional world can seem so real to people, but there is another level of subjective meaning that lies behind all outer forms and personalities and individualities and events. And contacting this causative realm of energy and force is done through meditation. So meditation is a way of enabling one to gradually begin to see into the world of meaning, into the world of significance and cause, and gradually gaining an understanding of what brings events and reactions and various creations made by our fellow men into being. They begin on the level of the mind. Meditation enables one to begin to rebuild the world along better, sounder lines when one becomes aware of how much you can set into motion by the power of your thought. It's said that we've all created our own present reality. Well, the world as it exists is a creation of humanity as a whole. And if we want it to be better, if we want it to be a world that's safer and sweeter and more just, we are responsible for recreating it. And that's why the group of human beings who believe in the power of meditation and who want to work for human unity and understanding and enlightenment can mobilize energy that begins to reach the minds of the intelligent men and women of goodwill.
Yes, we have to realize that we are creating a pool of light that enters into the thought radiations that encircle the globe, and human consciousness is not just a static thing. It's constantly circulating energies that are constantly circulating throughout the planet. And we pick up these impressions unknowingly all the time.
Look at how the element of fear is being mobilized in human consciousness today by all the discussion of terrorism. That's a negative aspect of what you're talking about.
And that's the negative way of using energies. Mm-hmm. I mean, those that use terror, I think, maybe unconsciously, they realize what they're doing. They're spreading mm-hmm. their poison, and they're spreading fear and terror. But you can, by just the opposite of that, you can spread great love and goodwill, and develop a sense of sharing and planning for building right human relationships. All of this is possible too. So it isn't. We don't have to give in to those forces of darkness that are preying upon us all the time.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is meditation, part two, and please take advantage of our free offer, which is a gift, and the title of the gift is The Science of Meditation, which is really an introductory booklet on meditation, and it'll enable you to explore this topic a lot further. And to get your gift, just call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And once again, the title of the booklet is The Science of Meditation. So you just ask for that when you call up on our toll-free number. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And we also have a special offer from the LUCIS Publishing Company. It's a book. It's one of Alice Bailey's books. It's the title of which is From Intellect to Intuition. Once again, the title is From Intellect to Intuition by Alice Bailey. It's available for $12. I guess the uniqueness of this offer is that we're giving you free shipping and handling, but you must mention that you heard it on Inner Sight. Once again, From Intellect to Intuition by Alice Bailey. It has to be ordered by mail, by the way, so send your check in or money order for $12 to LUCIS Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, there's a check or money order for $12 to LUCIS Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And by the way, many people have expressed an interest in this show. They would like us to remain on the air, and we just want to remind you that we need your support. We need your donations, and just give us a call on that toll-free number or send it to our address. We'd like to get on with the show on meditation, and once again, well, I think at this point we've covered a number of points about meditation. Can you more or less sum up our discussion about meditation?
Well, there's so much more we could say. Perhaps one important point is to mention that if people are thinking of undertaking training in meditation, it isn't something you learn overnight. It's a method that you have to practice. Like anything that's worth attaining, it takes patience and great discipline and persistent rhythmic effort. Occasional sporadic efforts at meditation aren't nearly as successful as setting aside even a small block of time on a daily level and being consistent in one's practice of meditation, because that rhythmic effort duplicates the rhythm of the soul on its own plane as it seeks to make contact with its instrument, the personality. And in order to do this, people can probably guess that they need to work at simplifying their lives. So many people today lead lives that are so full, so crowded with multitasking, that there's really no time left for one more thing. And certainly meditation shouldn't be just one more thing you add to your life, like an exercise class or whatever. The need for simplicity is not only to create space and time, but to free up energy. If you're engaged in a lot of different activities with a lot of different commitments and concerns, you're fragmented. And I know that goes against the whole tenor of modern life, but simplicity is the expression of the soul, and the path of initiation is one of simplification. The great Hindu mystic Ramana Maharshi said, "An average person's mind is filled with countless thoughts, and therefore each individual one is weak. When in place of these many useless thoughts, there appears only one, it is a power in itself and has a wide influence."
And that's one good reason, perhaps the very best reason, to start with a practice, a daily practice of meditation. Make it a priority in your life, because it is the best means of bringing your inner self right to the forefront of your consciousness and into the world. And in fact, we're, as the Christ said, came to act as the forerunner for the kingdom of God, and that's essentially the kingdom of souls, and that's the new kingdom that is emerging into the world, but it has to emerge through humanity. And that's why meditation on the principles of the soul is one way of effectively bringing that kingdom into reality. And make a time in your day, set a time and keep it and practice it. It only takes, 15, 20 minutes at the most, and to keep it dynamic and focused, and it will improve your whole way of life, because it gets your mind focused for the day.
Perhaps we should also mention in this summing up of our thoughts on meditation that meditation, as it's envisioned by Raja Yoga, is not meant to make one experience psychic impressions or recognitions. It doesn't make one receive messages from inner planes and from higher beings. It doesn't develop in one a sense of clairaudience or clairvoyance or any of those powers that are called the psychic powers. Meditation, as Raja Yoga practices it, develops clarity of mind, and I think an increasingly inclusive consciousness, an ability to identify the larger principles and the more fundamental elements of the plan. And it brings a sense of organization and order and clarity to the way one thinks and uses one's own mental resources, don't you think?
Yes, Raja Yoga is it's very ancient type of yoga. I mean, it was given out first by the principles of Raja Yoga were given out ages ago, thousands of years ago, by a man named Patanjali. And we have those principles and the rules for Raja Yoga are still applicable today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, in fact, today is the very time when they are more applicable, because the mind principle of humanity is beginning to really awaken and become a usable, functioning tool in the world.
Yeah, it's as if Patanjali foresaw from they're not sure when he lived, 6,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. It's as if he foresaw our present stage of attainment. And his rules, called the Yoga Sutras, are timeless and still applicable today. Now that we have education, we have a world population that's highly literate, we have an ability to use our minds, this is precisely the right time to undertake meditation. And so much of the planet is ready for it because we know how to think. We know how to use our minds. We just need more practice doing so.
We can use our minds for good or for ill.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that has to be balanced by good qualities of the heart and the soul. And where those two work together, then you have the even balanced way. And that's so much needed in the world, because there are plenty of people out there using their minds for ill gain, for ill, for selfish purposes, and for terror and that sort of thing.
Or but just for materialistic pursuits.
Absolutely, and it drives the mental focus downward, and that's not so good. We should be moving in the opposite direction. We're going to, as Robert said in the beginning here, we're going to provide an outline for a meditation work. Then I might say that this meditation outline is given in this booklet that we're offering, The Science of Meditation. So if you get this pamphlet, this booklet, you will have the outline for your own use. And it's an outline based on the principles of Raja Yoga. So I think early, you know, if one can set a time, a regular time of day, to do this, this would help you tremendously. So, Sarah, why don't you start us off on that?
Well, you begin by, as you say, finding a time and a place where you can meditate. It's good to have a regular spot in your home that is your place for meditation, where you aren't interrupted or distracted. Early in the morning, obviously, is the best time in terms of being free of distractions, but also your mind is clear and not cluttered with the day's events and unexpected happenings. So if you can get up a little bit earlier and set aside time on a regular basis for meditation, you'll find that you aren't more tired, but in fact more rested. You sit in a straight-back chair, unless you're one of those people who is really, truly comfortable sitting cross-legged with nothing to support your back. Pick a chair with a straight back that will keep your spine erect and yet will enable you to be completely comfortable and relaxed so that your attention is away from the physical body. You don't want to have to be focused on your discomfort in your physical body while you're trying to meditate. Fold your hands lightly in the lap and cross your ankles, and begin by taking a few slow, deep breaths. Nothing like a bellows breath, just natural, slow, deep breathing, while you empty out of your consciousness any personal considerations that have been troubling you or that you've been planning for. Then lift the consciousness using your creative imagination to a point that you can visualize above and away from the top of your head, not in your head, but above it, apart from it and above it. See this point that you have imagined as the mind, the lower mind, the analytical, critical mind, stilled and quiescent like a pool of light. And then, using your visualization powers, imagine a line of light extending from that center to the soul, to that being who is your true eternal self. This is your true spiritual being. And then extend that line of light still further towards the higher or abstract mind, which is the lowest aspect of pure divine spirit. And you hold this visualized line of light in your imagination for a few moments, just seeing it as clearly as you can, knowing that it represents the complete unification of your entire being. Then you pause for a moment of an interlude, being aware of that light, and then, using your creative mind, you reflect upon some particular seed thought of your choice, An example might be a line from the Mantra of Unification, which says, "Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events. Let love prevail. Let all men love." Whatever seed thought you choose, develop it according to your experience and your understanding of that thought. Develop it as deeply as you can. Then, turning it over to the soul, you imagine how the soul would view that thought, that idea, and seek to apply it in service of the plan on earth. That takes your meditation a stage higher than your normal concrete lower mind might approach it. When you've completed that phase of meditation, then you visualize the flow or precipitation of energy throughout the planet, pouring from the highest center throughout all the planes of existence, human, animal, vegetable, mineral, divine love sweeping throughout the world. And you pause for a few moments to reflect on how this divine plan is working out in the world through the cooperation of humanity all over the world. That's a more practical expression of the understanding of the seed thought, working out in real effects and actions on earth. And finally, acting as a channel for the transmission of divine energy and purely for service to humanity, you end your meditation by releasing the energies that have been generated by sounding the great invocation, which distributes light and love and power into human consciousness. And perhaps before we say the great invocation, we can think a moment about what it is actually invoking. It is, after all, an invocation. When we close our meditation with invocation, we are using the energies generated in our meditation, turning them over to the use of divine purpose and potential, and knowing that we are constituting just one more inlet through which light and love and power can pour into human consciousness. With that channel in mind, we then blend with the consciousness of all humanity and share the results of our meditation with the whole of the world. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.